farmed insects could help tackle two of the world's biggest problems in one fell swoop, food insecurity and the climate crisis. Maybe the idea of biting into a burger made from crushed crickets is not your thing, but a man who's out to convince us otherwise is Peter Alexander, who joins us now. Morning, Peter.
Morning, though I'm not sure I'm out to convince you. I might be out to discuss it and tell you some of the pros and cons. But,
please tell me you've had some bugs for breakfast. Please tell me you have, Peter.
No, not today. I have eaten them. I have tried them, but mostly I just do research on them. So or all things food systems, including this, but not limited to this.
Excellent news. Okay, now I've spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia, and the bugs are everywhere. Every market you see them, they're fried up in little street carts and all the rest of it, and they've got absolutely no problem with it whatsoever. It's just a kind of how you're brought up thing, surely, isn't it? All this.
Absolutely. It's cultural, and we're taught that insects are disgusting and shouldn't be eaten, but that's not true in the rest of the world. And you know, there's evidence that as a species, we've developed with consuming insects kind of from many millennia. And also the other thing is, our perceptions of what foods are good and what foods are not appropriate changes over time. So the introduction of tomatoes into Europe was seen as very suspicious because part of that family of foods are poisonous. These things take a long, long time to adopt.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That I had no idea until I looked into the research of this that tomatoes were kind of not a great thing to eat, and lobster in the US was also shunned.
Yeah, exactly, because it was very plentiful, that it was seen as kind of inferior, if you like.
Wow.
And in some states, there were laws forbidding you to give your slaves lobster more than twice a week because it was seen as so inferior. And it was even used as fertilizer, so pick up the lobster and use it in that way because it was so plentiful. So things, perceptions change for all sorts of reasons. It's not these things are not kind of objectively defined. They're much more subjective and much more cultural.
Now, I bigged up the insects at the start there by saying it could tackle two of our world's biggest problems at once: food insecurity and the climate crisis. How so?
Well, to some extent, I don't fully agree with that necessarily. 100%, but it depends what you're substituting for.
Right.
What food you're replacing with the insects. So if you're eating steak or animal product foods, even poultry and pork.
Yeah.
If you're replacing them with an insect that's been grown on waste or feed that's more easily produced, then it could have a much lower carbon footprint and a much lower water and land use footprint as well. So in that sense, it could be very beneficial, environmentally speaking. But if you were replacing it against sort of more plant-based foods and increasing your animal product in terms of insect proteins, then actually it could be worse. So it's very variable about what you're actually going to replace with that insect.
We obviously farm animals in order to eat them, which, of course, to some people is a very bad thing. Do people farm insects, or are they just around?
They do farm them. I mean, it's not industrialized in the same way as conventional livestock is. But yeah, they're a small scale, and even in the UK and elsewhere within Europe, producers of insects. But it's kind of much more of a cottage industry. And in some parts of the world, they're slightly bigger. And also there's sort of, as you say, kind of naturally occurring insects, if you like, that are harvested as well.
Mm.
But it's nothing like the industry that the conventional livestock is.
We're going to have quite a lot of ants to make the equivalent of a nice bit of steak, aren't we? I've got an ant problem right now. There's one crawling over me as we're doing this interview, to be fair. In Spain here, we have kind of periods where ants just kind of take over. I often think, God, you know what? I wish I enjoyed eating ants because I'd have these. But it would take a lot of ants to make up the equivalent of surely of having a decent piece of meat.
Sure, but it could be produced in a much more, you know, much denser way.
Right.
And the other big advantage of insects that we haven't covered yet is that you tend to eat all of the insect. Whereas
right.
if you have a cow or, you know, other form of conventional livestock, you tend to throw away half of it or not use it for food, and it has sort of byproducts for the skeleton and the fat and the skin and so forth. And therefore that's one of the reasons why it's so much more efficient. And also they grow much faster. You know, if you have a cattle, then obviously they produce one offspring per year, whereas obviously insects it tends to be thousands, and they don't necessarily reproduce on an annual basis either. So
right.
again, that's another source of the efficiency. There is both the fact that you're consuming much more of the animal, and they have a higher fiduciary.
Got it. So he wouldn't go into the butcher and ask for shoulder of ant for this weekend's Sunday roast. No, exactly. I get that. Yeah. That could be tricky to even for the best carver of meat. Methane is another thing, isn't it? And how much, for example, crickets produce apparently up to 80% less methane than cows and 8 to 12 times less ammonia than pigs, which clearly is a very good thing.
Yeah, I mean, ruminants particularly have a bad environmental footprint, both from the sort of the slowness of which they grow and the fact that their rumens are producing methane, which is a very potent greenhouse gas. So yeah, that's definitely one of the reasons why conventional livestock, particularly ruminants, is so environmentally damaging.
And insects are pretty good at converting their food into protein, unlike animals, right?
They are better, but, you know, again, you know, to highlight the fact that it's, you know, insects might be better than conventional livestock and particularly better than ruminants, but that doesn't mean that they're better than eating a plant-based diet. So again, you know, just to highlight the point that it's what do you converting into insects within your diet is really the determining factor about whether they're better or not.
I think in Europe, only about 10% of people would be willing to replace meat with insects. Where do we think that's come from? Is it simply because it's fear of the unknown, do you think?
I mean, these are cultural. We started talking about this. You know, these are cultural norms, and they develop through time. So that's not, that may be true today. I haven't actually seen that 10% figure, but it sounds plausible.
Mm.
But that's not necessarily set in stone. And obviously there are a number of other things that have been talked about in this sort of the category of meat replacements. You know, cultured meat, lab grown meat, same thing, different word. It is one of those other kind of potential solutions that people talk about here. And that also has issues with consumer perceptions, rightly or wrongly. And, you know, so there's no free lunch here. You know, there are behavioral change is difficult.
In Asia, I recall very vividly being in Cambodia, and there's a little kind of street vendor there, and he was not just selling your kind of standard crickets and bugs, but he was selling tarantulas on a stick, and it was perfectly normal. He had queues around the block of Cambodians coming up and buying it from him. It's just a whole different world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I in a lecture I give on this topic, I have a video that I took in Beijing of live scorpions on a skewer.
Yeah,
that, you know, if you ordered the skewer of scorpions, they would barbecue it for you in front of your eyes, and which is quite gruesome from a Western perspective, and not very appetizing.
Mm.
Obviously, one of the potential ways around that sort of disgust issue that we've been talking about is insect flour, or, you know, grinding them up in some way,
right.
and then including that flour within something that looks far more palatable. Quite often, people talk about a brownie or something else that we, you know, we like. So you could be getting your insect protein through something that doesn't have legs and eyes and crawls around.
So rather like your parents used to try and deceive you by putting vegetables that you hated into something that you didn't spot them.
Yeah, like, I guess. I mean, presumably this brownie would probably be sold at a premium for containing high quality higher quality protein than a non-insect brownie.
Yeah.
But so they wouldn't be concealed in a, you know, in that sense. But you know, it would be concealed in the sense you wouldn't be crunching through the exoskeleton of the particular insect.
Interesting.
But yeah.
One of the other things that insects do, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is that they're not particularly fussy about what they eat, so they could live off food and biomass that would otherwise be thrown away.
Yes, indeed. That's definitely one of the biggest advantages. I think for something that probably turned your stomach and perhaps turned mine a bit is the idea of using our waste to grow insects. Which so black soldier flies is the one that the insect is usually, and then you end up with all these larvae that have been grown on, as I say, our waste. I don't know how graphic you want me to get in terms of language here, but you know where I'm going here.
I do.
And these insects, these larvae, can be used to feed other animals, to feed fish or to feed livestock, and then we could eat those animals. Now, whether that's acceptable from a consumer perspective or whether that's acceptable from a sort of disease pathogen perspective, obviously, you know, it's very circular, and that's good in sense of environmental benefits, but in terms of pathogens, it's a bit more of a concern. So that's not something that's done at the moment,
right?
But it is something that is being discussed as, you know, having some benefits but some issues as well.
I guess the fact that we see most insects as dirty and kind of crawling around in gutters and sewers and stuff makes them slightly less palatable. Surely there's a danger to health in eating some insects.
Well, I'm obviously the growing it on shit, literally.
Yeah.
There is that issue, for sure. But obviously, if you're growing maize or some other crop that you might have fed to your livestock to feed the insects, then that is there may be a disgust response, but it's not any more rational than being disgusted about beef. Coming from, you know, being fed or pork being fed in a similar way. So it's not intrinsic to the insect, but you do need to think about the full life cycle, if you like.
Yeah. And so how in your kind of research on this, I guess you've spoken to a lot of people about it, how do vegetarians and vegans deal with the insect issue? Do they have a different view of that? Have you ever spoken to one and they kind of find that a little more acceptable than eating a cow or a pig?
It's difficult to generalize. I mean, most vegetarians, I think, would view them as animals and therefore not appropriate. But it would depend on why the person was vegetarian or vegan. You know, if it's for environmental reasons and they view that the environmental harm from insects was low enough, then they might be seeing it as acceptable. Or if it's animal welfare, maybe it's not fluffy enough to be considered an animal that has rights in the same way as some other conventional livestock animals might have. But it's down. That's the individual's view. I think most vegans would not eat insects.
Yeah, I guess we've got a long way to go here, haven't we? I do remember there being a big deal made about a supermarket chain here, Carrefour, stocking, I never saw them actually in the supermarket, but they apparently were stocking insects, crickets and something else they were stocking for people to take away and eat. But you never see that. I mean, even in Southeast Asia, you don't see them in supermarkets, you know, ready to take home a bag of crickets, do you?
Well, I'm not sure if it's certainly not common. I mean, you can order them on the internet.
Yeah,
you can order anything.
But you order many things on the internet, but it doesn't make it good for you.
No, but you can order them on the internet easily, and you'll have them delivered in whatever form you order them.
Wow.
Either baked into a cookie or as a flower or as the whole insect.
Yeah,
all of those are easily easily find.
But I guess the point I'm making here is, are the big food providers, the supermarkets, I guess, looking at this as a real way of making money? Is it something that they see as the future?
I don't think yet.
No.
Is probably the answer. I think it's too early days. It's a bit niche.
Well, you say you've tried them. What do you think, Peter? What did you try?
I've had crickets and mealworms, which are the sort of the two classic. They're not the mealworms are fine. They're sort of crunchy and fairly uninsecty.
Right.
The crickets are a bit larger and therefore a bit more. Kind of, you're obviously eating an insect.
Yeah.
I've also had them, you know, baked into things, and that's completely fine. You're completely unaware that there's anything different.
That's kind of standard food thing where they say, oh, actually, just tastes like chicken?
No, I mean, they taste more drier and crunchier and sort of tasteless. Well, at least the mealworms are. The crickets have got a bit more sort of gooiness in the middle, and that's a bit sort of less. God. Not quite so much to my taste either.
So, as a man who's researched all this stuff, would you swap over? If somebody said to you today, you know, what you really ought to do, Peter, to save the world is ditch all the meat products and start eating insects wholesale, would you do it?
I'm a kind of believer in lots of little changes.
Yeah.
So reducing the amount of meat overall, replacing some of that with plant-based foods. And as part of that, you know, whole raft of different changes, insects in your diet occasionally is completely sensible and fine. But, you know, insects every day for every meal, no thank you.
Been a pleasure talking to you, sir. Thank you for enlightening us on this this subject. I'm sure many people at home are kind of going, but some of maybe think, well, okay, I might maybe give that a go next time I see them on a stall, maybe when I'm out and about. Thank you, Peter Alexander. Pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.